But I do think there is a distinction between data asset and a data product. And it has to do with the amount of resources that you're going to put into it, not just at the beginning, but continuously over time.
Hey, Wayne, how are you doing?
I'm great. It's wonderful to be here with you, Karsten.
Excellent that you could join us. Actually, where are you joining us from today?
Yeah, I am in Boston, well, just south of Boston. And my power just went out about 15 minutes ago, so I'm broadcasting from my mobile phone. Amazing technology, huh?
Yeah, actually, it sounds good. So let's see how that goes. Wayne, our topic today is data products and data marketplaces. From my point of view, actually the hottest topic of 2024, after talking a lot about data mesh in 2023, where we also talk about data products, the whole discussion seemed to have shifted now to data products. Do you have the same observation?
I think so. And it continues to be hot because no one knows what they are, or they disagree completely about what they are. So there's a lot of, FUD out in the marketplace. And of course, every vendor is trying to define it in a way that maximizes the utility of their own platforms, right? But I think there is some value there and it's worth discussing.
Absolutely. So we first should clear up the confusion. And let's start with your definition. What is a data product?
Yeah, I kind of look at data products as a subset of data assets, right? So a particular type of data asset, which could be a data set, could be a report, dashboard, ML model, and even more granular things like SQL code. But a product really is something, if you take the retail example, it's something that's shoppable. I call it shoppable. I'm not sure that's actually a word. But it's something that you can go in and buy off the shelf after you browse, just like you would go into a grocery store and pull a can of tomato soup off the shelf and put it in your cart and then go and buy it. So I think a data product needs to have those same shoppable characteristics. You should be able to browse for it. You should be able to pick it up and look at all the metadata, the description of what it was, when it was made, where it was made, when and where it was made, what are the ingredients, et cetera, et cetera. And then put it in a cart and then check it out. Now, maybe you don't pay for it internally if you're in a company, but it has all the characteristics and features that if you wanted to charge for it, you could. So I think ultimately, that's what a data product is. Now, if you drill to the next level, it really should be something that's geared to a target audience, right? And it's pretty standardized so that it's repeatable, right? It can be reused. It's not a one and done thing. And I think those are some of the main characteristics, systematically governed and packaged with rich metadata. So those are some of the key characteristics. And to deliver that, I think you need a slightly different type of team. You need a product owner who has that mindset. So when you're creating something for external consumption, this is a natural thing for companies to do, right? Is to assign a product manager and then continuously fund that product and improve it, get feedback, and continually to grow and enhance it, right? But when you bring that product inside an organization, it's a little tougher to make the connection for a lot of people, right? Do we really need a product manager to do an internal data product? Or can we just do what we've always done just a little bit better?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So what would it be that companies usually have done before? So where's the difference now?
Yeah, I mean, typically you send someone out, a business analyst, to gather requirements. You bring it back to your development team. You help them create specs. They build something, then you bring it back out to the users to see if they like it. Hopefully now you do that in an agile way. And if they like it, good, you're done, right? So it's a project. It has a finite beginning and end. With a product, it really does not have an end. It should be continuously enhanced. It's going to have a life cycle. And to manage that life cycle and to continuously feed new requirements in to the development stream, you really need a product manager whose job it is to understand the user requirements on a continuous basis, bring them back, manage the development process so that when it's finally finished, it can go out and be accepted and adopted by users.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. So you would say a project is really demand-driven. Yeah, so someone says, okay, I need this, and hopefully the project delivers it. I always think that a product is also more supply-driven in a way. Yeah, that the product manager maybe has to think what might be a good product, what finds customers in the market. On the other hand, people are also demanding products because sometimes they still need data and they need someone to deliver it to them. How do you see that supply and demand relationship with data product?
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, you need to understand who you're targeting, right? Who's going to be consuming this product? You know, in most data enterprises inside an organization, they're pretty much taking tickets, right? So there is no understanding of the customer. You know, the customer contacts them and says, I need this and I need it right away and should look like this and do this. So there's no real product definition there. So that's kind of a big mindset shift to go from, you know, handling tickets to, oh, let's dream up what the product should be that this group of customers really needs and wants. And then let's try to, you know, define it. Let's run it through a review board to make sure that investment of time and money is worthwhile, that this product is something that is going to improve, help the company achieve its goals, right? And then develop it and bring it through a technical review board to make sure it actually is meeting the specs that were laid out in the product definition. So there's a lot more governance hoops and loops to go through in a formal data product methodology, which is why it really is a subset of data assets. You don't want to do this to all of your data assets, really just the most important ones for each group of users.
Mm-hmm. What happens with the rest? What about the other data assets that are no products?
Well, we keep doing what we've been doing. I think some people, this whole data product thing is like, you know, we're just going to do what we've always done. We're just going to have more governance. You know, we're just going to do it better. And we should certainly always try to do things better and provide products that have higher quality and are easier to find and access, right? But I do think there is a distinction between data asset and a data product. And it has to do with the amount of resources that you're going to put into it, not just at the beginning, but continuously over time.
Okay. You mentioned that you probably have a pretty broad definition of a data product. You mentioned it could be a simple data set, but also a dashboard or maybe something even more sophisticated. If we now think about a product manager having to define a product, would you say that it gets harder and harder the more sophisticated this is? I mean, I could imagine that someone says, okay, here is customer data. I know there are hundreds of people using that. So I define a product that's meaningful, that has most of the typical attributes that we typically analyze from our customers and so on. I think this is fairly simple. On the other hand, if someone would design an application or let's say a dashboard with lots of KPIs, I would think that it's quite hard from a product manager perspective. So probably that's more demand driven than, how do you see that?
Well, I think maybe it's example from one of our clients. We had this nonprofit and they wanted to, they actually provide exams for medical doctors and they wanted to create a dashboard for students to go in and view the results of a variety of exams over time. So they decided to build a dashboard and they assigned a product team and a product manager to that. And it was pretty obvious. No one really discussed that's just how they did it because it was external facing. It was going to require a lot of resources and they wanted to do it right because their reputation's on the line, right? Because it's their customers, right? We don't take that degree of investment for internal data products. You could argue that we should if it's a dashboard for executives? Maybe we do, right? What about a dashboard for mid-level managers? What about, you know, a lot of developers, they need data products too. And this gets where I thought you were going, that maybe a data product for a developer might not require all the product management that I just described. And you might be right there, but they need reusable code, you know, chunks of SQL or what have you, to really accelerate and facilitate what they do and make sure they do it in a standardized way. If that's something that gets reused time over time, this SQL code, this building block of multiple applications, is that a data product or not? You know, we can argue, do you have a product manager for that? Yeah, maybe you do. You just don't maybe call it that. Well, you certainly have a place you put that code. You have a process by which that code gets elevated to that place and that status, right? People have to continuously review the code when other conditions arise that might require the code to be changed. So we may not have all the nomenclature around that, but you know, I think a SQL code that's standardized and certified and stored in a special place is very different than this run-of-the-mill code that you build for any application. So I think it does qualify as a data product. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's kind of how I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. A question I get a lot is, what's the ideal profile of this data product manager? Because it's an end-to-end responsibility. Yeah, so this person has to understand the business. Basically, yeah, what's the business need I can satisfy with my product? On the other hand, this person also has to look over all the technical development. So make sure it's technically also done in the best possible way, which is a very broad requirement in a way. Yeah, you need technical expertise and business expertise, which we often don't really find in one single person. So what's your recommendation here? How do we find the data product managers, or what's the right profile? Or if we cannot find the ideal profile, yeah, where should we start looking?
Well, I think you defined a product manager pretty well, first of all. You know, I think their job is to shape and define the product, then to work with the development teams to ship the product, and then it's to manage the project through its life cycle. So I mean, every company has products. Therefore, most companies have product managers who do that very thing. So one place you could look for a data product manager is on your product team, right? Because they've got product managers there. Whether they would want to do data product management is a whole nother thing. Now, we actually worked a little bit with a guy named Henrik Strandberg, who was running a data engineering team for a large publishing house. And he actually broke the product manager role up into three areas. One was customer service, and that was the person who went out and kind of had that relationship with the customers and defined the requirements and things like that. And I'm actually reading this from one of the slides here, so I'm going to put my glasses on. And then the other was the product management, right? And that person was really the person who steered the development of the project, working closely with the development teams. And then there were the development teams, the engineering data managers, who actually built the product. And once the product was built, it went through the product manager to make sure it met the specs. And then it went to the customer service group, who worked with the customers to accept the output, right? So in that case, they kind of divided the whole responsibility up into three different groups. But the most important part really was the customer service group. And I think that's what a lot of data teams kind of forget to do, is to have strong relationships with their customers. And when we consult with clients and help build a data strategy, that's something I always recommend. We used to call them business analysts back in the day. Right. And everyone had business analysts. And if you had good business analysts, they were worth their weight in gold. Too many business analysts started to become like order takers, and not real strategically valuable to either group, the development group or the customer group. So now I call that position a relationship manager. And their job really is to work at a strategic level with a specific department or business unit, attend their meetings, and be able to almost proactively understand their requirements before they even can articulate it themselves and start to build out the product for them in advance, you know, so that when they're ready to see the opportunity, it's almost already baked in stone.
Yeah, yeah. So if like a company would now have to make a choice or maybe choose from different profiles, if I hear you right, then you would say product management know-how or experience is more important than data analytics know-how and experience, number one. And number two would be business know-how and relationship is more important than the technical capabilities you have. Would that be right, or is it too simple?
Well, yeah, I think that's, you know, it's like a three-legged stool. I think you need all three, right? You need the person who communicates with the customer. You need the person who, you know, sets the direction for the development. And then you need the people who develop. What I'm saying is that a lot of data teams, they don't have the customer relation person, right? And as a result, their stool is tippy. And they're missing a lot of opportunity to delight their customers and work proactively. As a result, they work very tactically, and very quickly they become just order takers responding to tickets that flood into their office and they can never get ahead of.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. This whole topic of data products became very popular with the data mesh methodology. So as I mentioned at the beginning, this was talked a lot about last year. This year, it's really more implementation, what I see. So companies are trying to decentralize their data analytics teams and initiatives. And my question to you is, how strong do you see the relationship? Because data mesh calls for the development of data products in domains, meaning in some decentralized unit. But what I'm seeing today is that also companies that are not really strong to going towards this decentralization, they still build data products, maybe in a central team. So how strong is that relationship? Where do you think data products should be built?
Well, I think with a data mesh, you absolutely need data products. You may be able to get away without them elsewhere, although it's recommended. I think, you know, there's always going to be certain things you want to do, you want to standardize on, you want to do them right, whether it's centralized or decentralized. But with the data mesh, you know, the whole theory is that, you know, these domains will create data products, which whether they actually do that or not is a real question. But if those domains are actually going to share what they create with the rest of the company, right? They better put it in a form that's highly usable, right? And shoppable, easy to find, easy to understand, easy to evaluate, and trustworthy and governed, right? Because ideally, you want people from across the company to find these things and recognize whether they want to use them without having to interface with the people on the domain team, because they don't have time to really interface with anybody from the rest of the company. They've got enough on their plate just meeting the needs of their own domain. And this is a problem I have with it. I have a lot of problems with data mesh, but one is, what motivation does a domain team have to create a data product that's consumable and shoppable by people outside of their domain? They really don't give a hoot, right? They're just trying to meet the needs of their own domain / silo. And if other people can use what they created, great, but they're not going to go out of their way in product management fashion to really understand their target audience, define their requirements, and then build something that meets those needs. They're meeting their own needs. So you have a real challenge with data mesh and keeping these products in sync and making them actually usable for people outside of the domain. And then, of course, you have the whole cross-domain issue, because there are a lot of things that a lot of entities like customer that aren't encapsulated within a single domain, and who's going to define those? And if you define them, who's going to keep them in sync across all the domains? So it's a real challenge to do data mesh. And I think ultimately it's a cultural thing. And you correct me, but I think it's great for companies that have been put together through mergers and acquisitions, and each acquired company brings its own data management platform and analytics platform and development team, right? So then you basically have already created a data mesh in a de facto way, and you might as well double down on that kind of environment and kind of work your magic as best you can to synchronize their outputs via governance, you know, cross-functional, cross-domain governance. Anyway, I don't want to get into the data mesh. We could go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, we should stay on the data product topic, because data mesh obviously is a topic for a whole episode. Hey, the Data Festival is around the corner again. On March 26th and 27th, we'll be back in Munich in the Muffatwerk, and on three stages over 2 days, you have the opportunity to hear lots of interesting use cases, how companies made data and AI real, how they implemented it, what they learned. And next to this great content, we have a big emphasis on getting you connected with the data community, with everyone that is working in data and AI in Europe. Don't miss it. Sign up now. So, Wayne, you describe data products, the main properties being shoppable, and everything that comes with it. And you also describe the challenges if data products are built decentrally, how to actually find them and how to publish them across an enterprise. And the answer often is a data marketplace. Do you agree? Is that the solution here? And what is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Data marketplace is the best way to do this. I think companies do oftentimes create their own workarounds for it. But if you're in a data mesh environment, you definitely need some sort of mechanism that operates like a data marketplace that allows people to go and essentially shop for data like they would shop for products in a store. So that's the real simple, basic concept. You've got elements of that marketplace that are designed for producers. So it makes it easy for them to take assets and elevate them into products, or combine assets and turn them into products, wrap all the important metadata around them, certify them with governance processes, right? And then on the other side, you have a consumer studio where essentially we've all used marketplaces from Amazon and others, where you can go and browse and search for products. You can read the descriptions. You can sometimes look at pictures, and read reviews, try to evaluate the product as best you can. In a data marketplace, some of them allow you to actually try out the product in a workspace with tools that sometimes they provide to query and mine that data. And then if users like what they see, they can essentially subscribe to it or download it or whatever mechanism the marketplace allows for distributing and sending it to the users. So yeah, the marketplace creates a shoppable environment for data products. Do you need one? It might be overkill if you just have a handful of data products, right? But if you have dozens and dozens of products and lots of users from different places, both inside and outside the organization, a marketplace is probably a pretty good investment.
Yeah, okay, makes a lot of sense. So it's like a software platform. How do you see companies implementing these marketplaces? Do they use a specific software or build them themselves or all of the above? What's typically here?
Yeah, I think to date, because there haven't been marketplaces, especially for internal, inside of an organization, we have had marketplace software for commercial data product environments, like Amazon Data Marketplace, okay? And now there are products that were built to support those type of commercial data marketplaces. But this notion of an internal data marketplace is pretty new. And we're just starting to see products emerge now that support that concept from all different sectors. It's kind of interesting. But for the most part, to date, companies have built their own.
Yeah, okay. A question I get a lot is, so now what's the relationship with the data catalog? I mean, that has been an initiative for many organizations over the last years to introduce data catalogs, and they obviously also provide some kind of like a marketplace. So is that the same now? You also differentiated data assets and data products being just a subset. So how does that relate now?
Yeah, so a catalog will index all of your assets, whatever they are. And what it does is give you access to the metadata, but they don't give you access to the data. And that's what a marketplace does. And the interfaces are fairly different too, whereas the catalog traditionally have been designed, even though the vendors didn't intend this, more for a technical audience, whereas the marketplace is for a non-technical audience. You know, a catalog, you can use a catalog for a marketplace. It has most of what a marketplace needs, which is the metadata. And so a lot of companies use it kind of as their marketplace. I would say it's probably more for power user type consumption. And the process to go access the data is usually a two-step process. You find an asset, and then you hit a button to request access. It submits a ticket to the data owner. The data owner replies in a timely manner or not, you know, and they send coordinates where the person can access the information for a certain amount of time or not, right? So it's not an immediate type of experience. It's not necessarily a business user friendly type of experience. So a marketplace is really a shoppable environment, much more than a catalog. That being said, last year I started bugging a lot of data catalog vendors. And I said, hey, you guys got, you know, 75% of what it takes to deliver a data marketplace. Why don't you get into that market? It's a natural extension of what you do. And most of them said, no, we got other things. That doesn't seem like a real legitimate market. But in the last 6 months, we've seen a number of vendors, some of the high-profile data catalogs, do just that, jumped into this data marketplace with add-ons to their catalogs. But we're also seeing data marketplaces come from the commercial data marketplace vendors, like Harbor Data, and Snowflake just got into this. They originally were partnering with a company called Revelate for internal marketplaces, but now they have said they've deployed capabilities to use Snowflake to build your own internal data marketplace. I haven't really checked it out, so I can't verify how good it is. We see a lot of data pipeline vendors starting to release data products. It makes sense, you know, if you're providing the software that actually creates a pipeline that delivers a data set or what have you, you know, why not take the next step and say, okay, you generated this thing. Why don't you put it someplace where people can find it, right? And package it up in a way that makes it easy for them to evaluate whether they want it or not. So we're seeing a lot of marketplaces come from different product sectors in our space. And I think, you know, the demand is still building out there. I think as people start to, one, understand what a data product is, two, start to build data products, then they realize, you know, we got to have a mechanism for people to find these things and subscribe to them. And that's where I think they'll start looking for these products in earnest, you know, in the next 12 to 18 months.
Yeah. So we have to quickly touch on one concept, that's the data contract. I mean, we have to mention it quickly. We cannot go into detail for the sake of time here. But just in your words, how does the data contract now come into all of this?
Well, if you actually are delivering a data product, right, through a data marketplace, there's an assumption implicit, for the most part, that product is going to deliver what has been spec'd out in the metadata, right? Certain, specific types of data with a certain quality of data and accuracy and completeness and timeliness delivered on the interval that was described, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, you know, if you don't deliver that as a data producer, then you're going to get bad reviews from customers or unhappy customers who refuse to pay their subscription fees, right? So that kind of works on the integrity of the producers to deliver what they say. But obviously, we can go a step further and establish a contract. And that contract not only specifies what's going to be delivered and how, but it guarantees that, right? And provides a greater degree of reassurance to the consumer that what they're been promised is what they're going to get. And if they don't get it, you know, what is the compensation, right?
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Wayne, thanks so much. I think we got a great overview on data products and data marketplace. And I would like to end this discussion with the question, so what's next? Where is all this heading? What are you expecting how data products will evolve over the next maybe year or two?
Yeah, I think it's a slow boil. Technology, now that we consult with a lot of companies, you realize that most companies, it takes 5 or 10 years for something new that comes in the marketplace for them to start to absorb it. So, you know, it's a leading adopter market right now. Certainly data mesh is fueling it. So it's a slow boil right now. So don't expect anything radical in the next 12 to 18 months. You won't be missing the boat if you don't have a data marketplace by then. So, you can afford to take your time. And it's going to take a while for the products to shake out as well.
All right. Wayne, thanks so much for all your insights, also for this outlook. As usual, it was great talking to you. And all I can say is see you soon. Bye-bye.
Likewise. Take care.